This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Please welcome Drew Barrymore.
It is going to be a very good day today. We have a big show for you. She has a big book out now. Huma Abedin is here. And I'm very excited for this conversation. I have been gearing up for it for what feels like weeks. But first, as we do here, we like to get into what's happening in the world. What's the good news? What's the funny news? I don't know. I need to know, though. Let's hit the headlines. All righty, then. It is time for Drew's News, where we crack open the good news soda can and... And with me at the desk, the co-pilot of any girl's dreams, Rossi Ross Matthews.
Hi. I'm a big girl. Hi, everybody. Hi.
Love. Well, first up, our story today, it's going to be wedding bells for Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox.
Yes.
But we got details on that ring. And I liked finding out what they were. People report that Machine Gun Kelly designed it himself. He also designed it with thorn tips so that if Megan tries to take it off, it hurts a little bit.
Okay, well.
That feels very in keeping with them. A little torture, a little mm-mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The ring is actually two rings, one emerald for her birthstone, mm-hmm. one diamond for his, another detail I liked knowing. And then the two are attracted to each other by a magnet that snaps them together. What's this couple gonna do next, Rossi? I'm here for this.
I'm here for it too. I'm glad they found each other because they said after they got engaged, they drank each other's blood.
Yeah.
Cute, okay. And then...
Which again, I couldn't tell if they were being jokey or serious. I never know, but I'm here for all of it.
I'm here for it, but I don't know about a thorn that hurts when you take it off. I like to kick it old school and just not to be able to take it off when I eat too much bacon. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it should be.
Well, that's why there's S and M.
I'm less S and M and more M and M. That's kind of how I roll.
Touché.
But I really am glad that they found each other.
I am too.
Next up, we've got some news on one of my favorite bodily functions. It's laughter.
Yay, laughter! I love this story so much, I know. Can't even handle it.
Get ready for it. Upward reports. Scientists have actually discovered at least 65 different species of animals. They love a good laugh too. Gorillas, chimpanzees, seals, dogs, cows, rats, they all get the giggles. And right, can you imagine how cute, like, can you just picture like a fox giggling. Can you even picture it? Well, guess what? We have video of foxes giggling. Look at this. Okay. Sorry, is that not...
And this is the kind of news I need in my day. I need to see that fox.
I didn't even know that animals really could laugh. Do you know how I try to like make jokes to my chihuahuas? They won't even throw me a bone. Nothing. But now I can't stop thinking about animals I want to see laugh. Like, don't you want to see a dolphin giggle?
I feel like that's what they're doing.
That's right. You know what? I didn't know you could do a dolphin sound.
I do like to. I do dolphin.
What other animals can you do?
I don't know. Test me.
Okay, do a horse. Okay, throw one at me. That's good.
Horsey? Yeah. Your horse.
My horse is gay. I just was so you know. Say.
What is a gay horsey?
Hey.
But I will be channeling the visual of that fox for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, that is goals sure. right there. Well, oh. next up, I asked the news division. I said, listen, we have got to get some information on why this phenomenon is taking place. Why 2 days ago mm-hmm. did I not know about Wordle?
Uh-huh.
And now I can't open a cupboard without Wordle popping out.
Can I tell you, this morning, Welly said, we've got to play Wordle. I had never heard about it until this morning, and now we're talking about it.
So
everyone is.
I'm like origin story, okay? Because if you're not already on the Wordle train, and I know it just sounds like a word that's like nonsense, but listen to this. It's not nonsense. The New York Times reports that Wordle is the daily word game on your phone that's become an absolute viral runaway hit. Not to be mistaken by an app. It's only a link right now, but wait to see what's coming with this. It was created last fall by a software engineer named Josh Wardle. And it was a sweet gift for his partner because she loved word games and she loved it so much. Josh ended up sharing it with the world. And on November 1st, 90 people played. And today, over 2.5 million people play worldwide.
Yes.
And it's growing bigger and bigger by the hour, not just the day. Why the Wordle fever? It's fun, it's quick, it's free. It's new every day, it gives you a tiny win, and it's shareable. Players are sharing cute little emoji boards to show their scores every day. Rossi?
Well, I love this because you can actually only play it once a day.
Mm.
And if you're anything like me, you get those games on the phone and you're like, oh, I've been Candy Crushing for 2.5 hours. Sorry. So this is like perfect. You get in there, it really challenges your mind. And the way it works is, it's hard to explain, but really easy to play. And it becomes addictive. Like, I know that every day I'm gonna wake up and Wordle it out.
Well, let's all get on this. And good for Josh for doing this.
And you know what? The fact that he created it for his partner.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we're going to cut to a quick commercial break. But I am very excited about our next story because we have a woman that went viral for getting so sick of being ghosted. She did something about
mm-hmm.
it. And it could work for all of us. So don't ghost us. We'll be right back.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
And I know you can relate to this. I certainly can. Getting ghosted is kind of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
When someone goes poof on you, especially after you've been connecting,
yeah,
that's when you go, okay, it's maybe it's ghosted, but it should be called, am I going crazy?
Exactly.
So you're wondering what the heck went wrong. Our next guest went viral for trying to find out. After a guy ghosted her, she sent him a thorough questionnaire to get to the bottom of it.
Yes, she did.
I am so excited. Shanna Falk, tell us, teach us. Welcome,
Hi.
Shanna Falk.
Hi, Shanna.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on this show. What inspired you to create and send this exit interview to the guy who ghosted you?
So I recently changed jobs, and in corporate America, once you leave a job, you typically go through an exit interview. And not far after that happened, I got ghosted, and I said, you know what? Let's do something about this. Let's call him out on his actions. So I had gotten ghosted, and we had that kind of comedy back and forth that I thought it would be funny to send him some funny questions, but really just to call him out on his behavior, because it's not cool. It's really not cool.
And maybe learn something.
Correct. Yeah.
What was your mental strategy going into this as well? And what advice do you have for anyone who might want to attempt this?
Yeah, so I went into it with an open mind, knowing that one, he may not respond, and I already got my answer when he ghosted me. So that was my first initial reaction. I already got my answer when he stopped texting me. I know my self-worth, my self-confidence is better than that. So I knew I wasn't going to get anything out of it.
I love
it. Thank you.
I love that.
And I'm curious, what kind of questions did you put on the questionnaire? Like, how'd you start?
That's the good questions.
Just lighthearted questions. One, really just being able for him to be able to self-reflect on some things, just calling him out. One, how good looking am I?
Oh my God, you did not.
My personality, but they really weren't questions about me. It was more for him to self-reflect on the actions that he...
What else? Give us the rest of the questions.
Did you ask, like, where'd you go?
I asked why he ghosted me. Mm-hmm. And really just the multiple choice questions were just, hey, this is going to be funny either way for me. So there's some funny questions in there, but rating my personality, rating my looks, which I don't care what he said either way. Why he ghosted me, what happened.
So you sent these questions, and then we have to know, did he write back?
He did.
He did.
Love it.
Tell me what did he say?
Yeah, so he initially, gave me great responses, but the big thing was things were moving too fast for him. The connection was really strong between us, which is also why I kind of sent this to him, what went wrong. There was no defining moment as to why he ghosted me. We weren't talking about anything specific when it happened. So he was open to let me know that it was just moving too fast for him and that he was the one in the wrong. So
I'm glad he took responsibility for it. I mean, like, you know, I think anybody that's ghosted somebody, it's usually has to do with that person. Like, they're not ready to be in a relationship. And at least he owned those feelings. But
you know what? Women, how is it for men? Because women love closure.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I almost don't care what the answer is. I would just prefer the answer. So how has everybody responded to this? Because this has gone bananas. It's viral. Everybody's talking about it.
Like a million views on TikTok, thousands of responses. What are people saying?
Yeah.
It just really kind of built a community where people were open and honest about, hey, this happened to me. Really made me realize that I want to get back to dating in the real world. I hate the apps. I'm over them. There's just so much missed in the apps. So I've been working on creating a social group here in Nashville for singles, just to meet out in public, get back out into the world, and get off the apps. There's so much missed on the apps of personality, and they can be pretty shallow at times. So working on getting that started.
Shanna, I bet the company that lost you is really bummed out right now. You are so smart.
Yeah. I bet the man that lost you is pretty bummed out, too.
I know. You are, like, the biggest catch personally and professionally. Do you mind if we circle back with you again? I'd like to catch up with you again.
I would love that.
All right. Thank you so much, Shanna Falk. This is not the
Good
end of
for
it.
You.
We're coming back. Wow. We'll be right back. You have so many good ideas.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Of our next guest is truly fascinating. She built a very successful career working alongside Hillary Clinton. Navigating the difficulties of her personal life became another aspect of what we know about her. Now she's in control and sharing her story in a new memoir. It's right here. I've read it. Take a look. From a behind-the-scenes aide to one of politics' biggest names, to front and center on the cover of tabloids, Huma Abedin has lived in many worlds. Now she's ready to share her side of the story. Born in Michigan and raised in Saudi Arabia, Huma went to a girls' school before finally returning to the U.S. to attend George Washington University. By the time she was a senior, Huma knew without a doubt that she wanted to work in public service. Then, in 1996, she earned an internship at the White House. Huma quickly moved up the ranks, landing as an aide to then First Lady Hillary Clinton. Working side by side, the pair became fast friends, and Huma spent 25 years alongside the political powerhouse as an invaluable advisor. In her new memoir, Both and A Life in Many Worlds, Huma dives into her many personal worlds of family, motherhood, religion, marriage, career, and more. For the first time ever, Huma also opens up about the trauma she endured in her relationship with former husband Anthony Weiner and the loss of privacy that came with every one of his scandals. But through it all, Huma has proven to be a beacon of grace and resilience. Please welcome Huma Abedin! Okay, so you and I know each other. We've known each other over many years in similar circles and circumstances. We've really spoken to each other like two women, two humans. And what I didn't know was that you were staying at Anna Wintour's house and that she was a source of consistent check-ins as well as encouragement for this. Is this true?
Absolutely true. You know, she is, the book was her idea. And to have a friend like Anna, she really was the first person who called me right after the 2016 election and, you know, when half the country was in mourning over that loss. And I was so devastated. I was so shattered. And she called me and said, we're going to dinner. And at dinner, she said, I know what you should do next. You should write your story. It's a good story and you should write it. And I wasn't convinced that I would. I went and then talked to Hillary a couple of days later. She said I should do it. It took some convincing for me to do it, but I did, and I'm glad I did, and it's been incredible therapy. And being out in the world, there's something so liberating and empowering about it. I really enjoyed it.
I'm so excited to know that, like, Anna Wintour, you know, was there to nurture you, and she's not the warmest creature, you know? So I love hearing that the, you know, this very stoic woman was what you needed when she was there for you.
Well, she actually gave me the gift of friendship at a time when I really needed it. It was in the midst of one of my very difficult periods in my marriage, and there was a public demand that I be fired because I had chosen to stay with my husband, who had been unfaithful to me, and I, at that moment, had chosen to stay with him. And I remember we were at this dinner and all the headlines were, is Hillary gonna fire Huma? And in the middle of this dinner, she walks over to me as, you know, the cameras are following and says, would you like to have lunch sometime? And really ever since that moment, you know, pushed me all the time, was always there if I needed something, but pushed me to make decisions, to stay true to myself, to not listen to my detractors. And I'm really great. I've had that with Hillary and I've had that with Anna, and I'm just privileged to have two women like that in my life.
All right, we're talking about really strong women, huge figures here, and Hillary, you know, HRC, as you call her throughout the book. Right. And she famously made a life choice, a political decision, a personal decision. And we're putting ourselves out there. So make no mistake, we've chosen public life.
Yes.
We're not naive about that. We've made a conscious choice.
Yes.
And is it true that you would go and talk to her each time a transgression, as you call it throughout the book with Anthony, you would go into her office, a woman who probably there's no one who could understand more, living in the life, being a huge political figure. What were those conversations?
I think one of the greatest gifts, walking into the White House at 21, during the Clinton administration, I joined this club. It's a club that comes with lifetime membership, and it's a club called Hillary Land. And the thing that's amazing about being in this environment is that it was a workspace where you walked in and you felt like you were respected and your work was valued and everyone took responsibility for things as a community. It was a very much a sense of support. So I would say, you know, that it was a place where as women climbed up the ladders of success, they did not step on the fingers of the women below them, mm-hmm. but reached the lowest and pulled the rest of us up too. So it was an environment where it was like, how do we do this job better? Or you did a great job on that speech. How's your mother doing? You should go talk to my allergist. Happy birthday.
Right.
And Hillary Land was all of those things because Hillary Clinton is all of those things. And so to be part of that community, I think did help me throughout obviously the highs in my life and certainly the lows in my life. And every time I did have a personal problem, and it wasn't just in my relationship, just generally I'm not feeling well, my mom is not doing well. She always approached these conversations as a friend first and as a boss second. And the advice she always gave me was, do what is right for, I'm here. You do what is right for you. It was never judgmental, and whatever you choose to do, I'm gonna support you.
And did she ever relate? I mean, when I call, you're Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin, but you know, I don't know myself as anyone but another human walking around the planet. And I will pick up the phone and call my best friend Nan and go, like, I think my marriage is falling apart. I'm so scared. I'm freaking out. I'm paralyzed with fear, anxiety. I can't function. I had a book coming out, and Will and I were having discussions that It was not healthy. It was not good. It was derailing. And as I'm publicly putting a book out, I know behind the scenes, literally as it's coming out, I have to call my publisher and say, everything is falling apart. What do I do? And I mean, did you have those, you're walking in and you're like, it's falling apart again. What are those conversations?
I'm your parallel. I mean, just the fact that you say that, I mean, it's one of the reasons I chose to write my story. I mean, everything that you just said is just touching my heart right here because I did exactly the same thing, Drew. And just looking at you and Will from the outside back then, everything was perfect. And I certainly thought I was living that too. I mean, I waited. I thought I did everything right. I waited for the perfect man. Anthony was the first man I was ever with, Drew. I mean, it was sort of, I waited for the perfect man. He swept me off my feet. When I was with him, I felt like nothing could ever go wrong. He was so smart. I mean, people might not remember me. He was a rising star in the Democratic Party. I was intimidated by him, you know, being out in public. I already worked for somebody, you know, famous, being in a relationship with somebody well-known. It was a little intimidating to me, but he just swept me off my feet, and I did think I was living a fairy tale. I share a story in the book about waking up at Buckingham Palace, writing a letter to my new husband, saying, how is it possible for life to be this perfect? We have to be so grateful to God. We can't, you know, we have to be so grateful. And 3 days later, everything fell apart. I remember getting on a plane, traveling to Europe, and getting a call from the White House Deputy Chief of Staff saying, and obviously the story had broken at this point, and saying, we're all thinking about you. The president wants to reach out. President Obama was president at the time. Can you imagine? And I'm sitting on that plane, looking out the window at this dark sky and saying, please just tell the president I'm so sorry for embarrassing the administration this way. I mean, that is what my parallel was to that story you were saying, like, how was I gonna get it, get through the next few days? But you figured it out, I figured it out, we had to figure it out.
Thank you for being so open for this very important conversation that I have looked forward to having with you. We gotta go to a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. All right, we're back with Huma Abedin. All right, so Will and I's marriage did not end one day. It took time to get there, and you do the work. You had to do that in front of everybody. But it's the same. And I am disappointed when people judge that and don't understand, especially when there are children involved. Yeah.
I think everything is different when you have children. I think, you know, the very fact that I wasn't even 12 weeks pregnant, I mean, yes, the first time it happened with Anthony, the story broke. Number one, I was still deeply in love with my husband. I was also in shock. I also didn't understand the behavior, but yes, it would have been so much easier to just walk away, except that we share this child together. And I walked in so much shame for so long. I write a whole chapter about this, feeling like the elephant in the room, not knowing where I was welcome. It's just a horrible feeling. I think a lot of women feel like they're judged for
okay,
decisions.
You just brought up a really trigger key point, shame. Mm. I have a circumstance that I thought of you. Mm. I was walking out of my OBGYN, and I had just found out I was pregnant. And I walked out of her office, and someone I work with, Chris Miller, got all these calls. We know she's pregnant, we're breaking the story. He's like, you guys always talk like this. We're in a no comment group, come on, you're being silly. And they're like, well, take a look at this. And it's the picture. And I was stupid enough to carry the sonogram in my hand out with me. I was depressed or saddened, kind of, that I didn't get to have that be a private thing, a moment, or just to wrap my head around it. Is it true that you, one of your toughest phone calls was, of all that you had to deal with, was about your pregnancy?
I was, I want to say 8 weeks pregnant. The story I tell about being in Buckingham Palace, 3 days later, the story breaks about Anthony being in communication online with other women. And 2 days later, I get a phone call from my friend Philippe. He said, this is a very awkward conversation for me, but you know, the New York Times has called and they're about to report that you're pregnant. And is there anything you want to share? And he obviously didn't know. And I was so mad. I had so much rage. I felt like this secret. I hadn't told anybody. We told our parents and our siblings. And so he said, do you want to tell Hillary? Do you want to call people? I said, no, I dare them. I dare them to run this story. I'm not even 12 weeks pregnant. And of course they did. And I was so shattered. I was so broken by not being able to share what for me was a once in a lifetime gift.
Yes.
That till today, and I did it yesterday in the kitchen, that I wander around and when I'm in the shower or shopping, I'll just say I'm pregnant. And I say it because I never got to say it before. And yesterday, Jordan said to me, Mommy, you're pregnant? And I'm like, no. But it reminds you that there are things that do stay with you.
I so appreciate hearing that because it's not always what you expect is the moment. Yeah. Here's what I mean. So when I got that phone call from Chris Miller of, I gotta tell you something. Something is coming out. It wasn't the pregnancy I feared. It was being caught drinking. And I felt like this was my shame. And I was almost relieved when it wasn't that. When people find out your deepest, darkest secrets, and I experienced that when I was 13 years old, and got outed and thrown into an institution and career over. I have such PTSD from that I think if someone's gonna catch me drinking again, I'm gonna lose my career. I'm gonna lose my job that I love so much. And it's so traumatizing. And that was my thing. And it carries with it so much shame. Yeah. How did you deal with that?
The first time Anthony and I sat down after his first, you know, the first revelation about his communication with women online, I felt, and we went away, we went to Texas to therapy. I didn't understand anything. I didn't understand anything about, you know, behavior that you couldn't control. I didn't understand addiction. I didn't know anybody growing up really who was divorced or split up. These weren't things you talked about in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like the minute it was all out, he seemed so relieved. He was like almost like an unburdening. And he said, well, how do I stop the behavior and how do I fix it? And I fully believed he could knock it off. 100% thought in 2011, when this first happened, he could just stop. And then we learned later when he ran for mayor of New York City in 2013, when there was another revelation that he clearly couldn't stop it. So every time I would get a call, whether it was from Anthony or Philippe, as we talked about, every time it was a call or a text saying, this tabloid called, or I have to tell you something, it is, how bad is it? And living within this world of, it's not gonna be as bad as I think it is, it's gonna be worse, because it always was. And that's why in 2019, and I do share the story in the book of really when I got to the end of my, I couldn't, you know, I contemplated stepping off a subway platform. It was really my low of the low. And when I did that, there were two things that came to me. It was number one, all of this holding everything and all of this anger and bitterness was only hurting me. It's something I later learned with Anthony in therapy, is that while pain might be necessary, suffering is optional.
Yeah. We have to go to another commercial really quickly, but we will be right back.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Thank you, everybody. We are back and having the exact conversation that I fantasized about. Something that is very honest, very deep, very candid, humor, breaking it all down. Thank you for doing this with me. Okay, there's a quote that I love. It said, trust patterns, not apologies.
Wow.
I know.
Brilliant.
Right?
Yeah.
Trust patterns, not apologies. Do you think he'll ever change?
That's a big part of this process, this disclosure process that couples go through. And, you know, some people get to the end of the process, and it's where you have to share the full truth and process it together. And some couples choose to stay together. It did not end up being the right decision for us. And in the end, what is the most important thing to both of us?
Jordan.
Our child. I mean, it is all about him. You know, when Anthony, Anthony was sentenced to federal prison for a little under 2 years, and my son was 5, and I said, I am not, under any circumstances, gonna take him to visit his father. Like, I would not put him, it will be too traumatic. And I remember we went away for the holidays, and we traveled, we were lucky enough to travel with the Clintons, and here we are, we're at this beautiful house, and this beautiful resort, and we're going out to dinner every night, and the kids are playing in the beach, and playing Uno. It is essentially heaven.
Fantasy.
Right? Fantasy. And one night we're at dinner with this family we had just met on the beach, and the little boy, who was my son's age, goes up to his father and puts his hands up in the air to be lifted. And the father lifts up the son, Joseph, and is holding him. And Jordan turns to me and just breaks down and says, I want my daddy. I want my daddy. And was inconsolable. And that was my moment of, you can give everything to your child if you have the capacity to, that is tangible, that is things, but nothing is gonna replace the hole in the heart that is the absence of a parent. And I made a promise to him the next day. I said I would take him to see his dad, and I did.
I appreciate that high road behavior so much. So here you are.
Here I am.
In the analogy and metaphors of books, What is your next chapter?
Every day I wake up and I'm healthy and happy and have my little boy, I am grateful. I have gratitude for that. Because I've also had an extraordinarily privileged life. I've been walked in spaces and places and, you know, that I would have never imagined. And so I do have the ability to get up and say, you know what? I'm opening up my life, my truth. And it's been amazing.
And I wanna hear that from people who have walked through the fire. Okay, last question, woman to woman. Oh. Did you ever tell Anthony, I love you, but I'm not taking your last name?
It never even came up. It was not even an issue that I was gonna take his last name. In fact, at one point, he didn't even ask. That's so funny.
Okay, you're here this moment. I can't wait to see what unveils next. I thank you. Thank you so much for this profound conversation that I've been waiting to have for so many weeks since this book came out. Everybody's talking about it. Huma Abedin, her New York Times best-selling memoir, Both and A Life in Many Worlds, is on sale right now. Thank you, Huma.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out, to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Prodigy, who we've been following for years. I mean, she was the most popular person on the reality show Dance Moms. I know. And everybody was devastated when she left, but then she went on to have this whole big life with Sia and be her muse and in all her videos and tour with her. And, you know, I mean, her whole career and body of work is so impressive. Anyway, now she's starring in the new HBO Max movie, which is a critical darling. I mean, people are really freaking out about this movie. It's a big deal. Take a look.
Now Drake, Degrassi Drake. Choose.
I like wheelchair Drake.
Wheelchair Jimmy! 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 Jimmy!
I like yoga.
I just asked your age, 19. And so how old were you when I first met you, which was at Ellen, right?
Yes, yes.
And you were performing the Sia video live in front of everybody. You were about to, you know, be so groundbreaking, the two of you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I think I was 11. Yeah. So it was a really long time ago. And I always remember meeting you, and I'll never forget that. It was so cool for me.
Well, I was so moved by what you and Sia were doing. Performance art, but it didn't have a wall up to it.
Yeah, totally.
It was breaking walls down.
Thank you.
But in the coolest, most profound, talented, artistic, I mean, you two really have an incredible connection. And I do believe in the muse.
Thank you, yeah. I can't believe she trusted me with that kind of responsibility, but it was a wild ride, and I'm so grateful for the experience. Just kind of like everything I learned as a dancer was kind of broken down, like you said, when I started working with her, and I learned that flaws were beautiful, and I learned that not everything had to be so calculated and perfect, and...
Was that counterintuitive to what you had been learning thus far?
Totally, totally.
Well, the person who changed my life when I was 6 years old, and I tried to be his muse, Steven Spielberg, his latest movie, West Side Story. Break it down. How's it working with Steven?
I mean, you know, he's like seriously one of the most incredible people I've ever met. I was so lucky to do that. I was 16 when I filmed that. And I was definitely one of the youngest cast members, and I was just like absorbing every moment. I was just trying to like really just be present in every moment I could. I absolutely adored the experience. It was so fun.
I mean, he is so...
He's such a, like, dad. I love it.
He's, you know, I saw him as more of like a father figure growing up.
Totally.
But now that I'm older and he knows my little kids and we've come sort of full circle, I'm like, God, you're so cool.
No, he's the coolest.
He's so, and I mean like hip, trendy,
yeah.
Up on everything, like hangs hard with the kids,
mm-hmm.
like all the dad vibes I would get from him growing up.
The best dad vibes.
But he still has those too. He's so nurturing.
I know, I love it. I love it so much.
Okay, my daughter just got into a little dance troupe. She made the auditions, and she is in a little dance troupe now. She has an outfit, they're all matching. Maddie, may I ask some maternal advice?
Of course.
As we both know, being a kid and an adult, and an adult and a kid.
Totally.
What's your advice for me?
Yeah, this is something that I really realized as I've started to get a little older, is that I was taught to like stay so focused and not engage with your competitors or your other, whether it be a different studio or even your own teammates. And I think like I realized that winning means nothing, that the only thing that really mattered and I wish I took more seriously was really having community with my friends and supporting them and being inspired by them, and rather of not be scared of the people who might be better than you, but actually just enjoy it and learn something from them. And I really, that's the best advice I could try and possibly give, is just like, accomplishments are cool, but they're not everything. And finding community in your friends is the most important thing.
Well, you'll be so proud to hear. She ran out of the class in the freezing cold the other day and other night in her t-shirt so that she could give her fellow dancers and her troupe like little presents.
I love it.
And I was like, oh no!
I love it.
Okay, we have a segment on the show here called Dear Drew, and it is all dedicated to my love of snail mail. I'm not alone here.
I'm obsessed with like the smell of mail.
How did this start?
I don't know, and I also don't know how anyone found this out about me, and I'm kind of weirded out by it, but
thank you, producers, and our research.
I was like, where did I say that a long time ago? No, but I absolutely am obsessed with, I wish I could just put it into a bottle and spray it on me as perfume. I'm so happy you like this, because my family makes fun of me for it, and I'm like, literally I walk in and I just like really embrace everything that's going on in the moment.
Would you please ever do a Dear Drew with me if you're in town?
I would love to.
Okay, this is a date. Okay, tell me about the film that is coming out. It's The Fallout.
Yes.
It's really winning awards, critical darling. People are freaking out. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm so lucky to be a part of it. The Fallout is a coming-of-age story of these high school students who kind of share a unique bond and navigating love and self-discovery and healing kind of in the aftermath of a tragedy that happens.
Yeah, I was shocked when I was watching it and understood what the premise was, because I didn't know going into it. And
it hits you quick, yeah.
I'm also amazed that there's a film being made about that subject, considering it's something I don't want it to be the case, but people are going through.
Totally, and it's something that needs to be talked about just because it's the realistic, you know, way of the world. And it's unfortunate, it really is, and there's so much fear that high school students must face every day, but it needs to be talked about.
I can't wait for this to come out.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on the
show. Oh my gosh, thank you for having me.
Oh, Maddie Ziegler, The Fallout premieres on HBO Max January 27th, and we have things to look forward to.
Yeah, we do.
Watch out, snail mail. Maddie and I are coming for you. We'll be right back. Play a quick round of
Truth or Dare. And we have an audience member. Where's Priya Limbaccia? Priya?
Hi.
Hi, Priya.
Okay, so anything goes here, but is it going to be a truth or is it going to be a dare?
I challenge you to a dare.
All right. Bring it on, Priya.
I dare you to a staring contest with me. You know the rules. First one to blink loses.
All right, let me get all my blinks out.
Okay, get them out. Mm-hmm. And go. Oh, this is riveting. Who will blink first?
Oh, shit! No!
I'm Mo Rocca, and I'm excited to announce season 4 of my podcast, Mobituaries. I've got a whole new bunch of stories to share with you about the most fascinating people and things who are no longer with us. From famous figures who died on the very same day to the things I wish would die, like buffets. Listen to Mobituaries with Mo Rocca on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.